Hello, and welcome to the semi-regular AU Wishbone live Sunday video show with commentary and questions. And I will be joined, I'm sure, momentarily by John Ringer. I'm Van Allen Plexico. And I've done a couple of things. I see John. I was going to say, I've done a couple of things. One thing, I've made our little logos down here orange. Very exciting. And two, I remembered to invite John this time. So let's bring him aboard. Welcome aboard, John. Yeah, there he is.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
All right, let's see if we can get your audio synced. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
There we go. Yeah, it was a little draggy at first. Oh, I see that Lane Kiffin is... I see the burner account. This man is an imposter. This is Lane Kiffin's burner account. We all know the truth. You can't fool us. Auburn Elvis asked the question. He asked the question, and I'm standing by. I'm standing by in case we have another scandal rocking the AU Wishbone. Yeah. Hey! All right. So that answers the question. We do not have... we do not have a scandal rocking AU Wishbone. We do not. So let me flip back.
I know you're all disappointed.
Yeah. Hey, Bruce, good to have you on board. So we got several people watching now. Hopefully it's working because I sent out the link. I sent out the link to Twitter, Facebook, and Patreon, I think. And I actually did the right one this time. I didn't screw it all up.
We're very excited about
Well, our listeners don't want to hear about our technical problems. We have enough of those already. But so John, we are here to talk about just to have our usual Sunday conversation. I guess that the two main things we've got are what's going on with the team, preparation for the bowls and recruiting. And then also the basketball team finally played a basketball game on yesterday, Saturday. It was pretty entertaining. So did you get to watch the basketball game?
I did not, but I did listen to the second half on the Auburn Radio Network. And sounded, an intense game. And I've watched the highlights later, but... You know, St. Louis is a good team. It was a physical game and a game where, we didn't play our best and they really tried to take, like, Samir out of the game. Mm-hmm. And some other guys had to step up and make plays. But it's, that was a quality win on Auburn's resume that, will help Auburn when we get to, tournament selection time. And it will help them – kind of be battle tested heading into SEC's play. That was a very physical game.
Yeah, we had my oldest daughter's boyfriend over, who is a student at SLU, and so he got to he had the hope and the hope, and it was brought.
But apparently, their previous game was against SIU Carbondale.
That's my wife's alma mater. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So they, they did lose one game. I don't remember who it was too, but so that was good. So they look good. They're still undefeated. And, did I miss a dunk? Auburn Elvis is talking.
Oh,
about
yeah. It was a big second half dunk. It was, I'll think about who it was in a moment. It was one of the backup guys, that went up and got it, made a big dunk.
Cambridge?
Cambridge. It was Cambridge.
Okay. He's impressed me a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like we've replaced, our three awesome players and a couple of mid-level players with certainly one awesome player in Okoro. And it seems like we have five or six new guys that all – they're not Bryce Brown as a senior, but they're –
they can play.
Yeah,
they can play at SEC level.
Yes,
competent players, and they don't have to be stars and carry the team, but you need guys that can play and give you minutes on both ends of the court and make plays. And guys like Cambridge and Johnson, you know, can absolutely do that. I think, as you said, Okoro is kind of the star of the new guys, but you add him to Samir and Javon, who's, you know, had a great assist to turnover ratio over the course of the season, but yesterday had to step up his scoring and did it, you know, kind of was less unselfish and kind of made some more shots. So I think, you know, you have Samir, you got the big inside guys. I mean, I think Anthony McMore probably played his best game yesterday, maybe my opinion of the year, like just rebounding at both ends, making plays at both ends, blocking shots, altering shots. And, you know, and I think he hit an open three-pointer and stuff too. So he contributed.
It just seems like we're shooting terribly. We're not shooting free throws very good, and all of our other shots are not so good. I keep thinking, well, you know, every team gets into these stretches where the shooting's not so good, but it doesn't seem to be correcting as fast as I would like. It partly might be that that was only our second game in like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
We need to play more games, and that's going to happen.
It's going to happen. We're going to get to January. It's going to be twice a week, all the time. One thing is, I think this team just isn't as good a shooting team as last year's team.
Yeah.
Like that was a great, great shooting team, and they're just not going to be as good at shooting. But the second thing is the foul shooting is a concern.
It is a concern.
We're getting to close games against good teams. So
we were lucky we were playing a team even worse than us at free throw shooting yesterday. I think they were the worst. But but we were right there with them, man. We were like, yeah, you may think you're the worst.
Something.
Yeah. So it was. They said that it was something like 53%, and Hunter, it was over with us. He thought they said 3%. He's like, we're only shooting 3%. Like, you got to be pretty bad to shoot 3%. But it felt like 3% there for a while by both of them. So,
Yes. But
the thing that was amazing to me was, and this is what we've been doing all season, even when we're not making shots, even when we're not scoring very much, the defense and the rebounds are keeping us, if not in the lead, keeping us around, right? I mean,
yes,
we, you know, close to halftime, SLU had 19 points. 19 points. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this is a Division I basketball team that's not bad, and it's almost halftime, and they've got 19 points. So even if we only had like 22, I mean, we're you know, just imagine if we were scoring, we'd look like some of those great Duke teams or something, because we're holding teams so far down. If we could just score at the same time, you know, we would be a force. We're like the 2006 football team. You know, they had a great defense and they'd win games like 14-7, you know.
Yep.
So, well, let me see what else is, well, that's true. But we, get my thoughts back. I don't know. I just feel like the team has a lot of potential. It's just got to get in the flow better a little bit. So, but anyway,
yeah. And
we've got, you know, we got a couple more teams coming up before we get into the SEC schedule. I know we've got like,
NC State later this week.
Yeah.
So
revenge.
Revenge. Revenge.
Yeah. Now their basketball team is worth our attention. Their football team their football team is a giant sucking void of all football interest. It's a black hole. Here's NC State football team, here's football interest, and it just goes blah, blah, blah. But the basketball team, you know, they beat us last year. So let's see what else is going on, because we got other stuff going on. We got
somebody talking about Chad Morris. You were talking about Chad Morris.
Yeah, I was just about to flip over here and say how the Chad Morris fan club is checking in, William. And also somebody noted that Johnny Caldwell noted that War Eagle, that how about Brown, Derek Brown's going to play in the bowl game? Have we heard about
Marlon? No, I haven't heard officially. Derek Brown was the one that I think that's all the pressure was on to not play. And again, if something happened and he chose not to play, like I don't blame him. He's got to look out for him and his family and do the best thing for him. So I'm not ever going to fuss about players that, you know, that are not playing in an exhibition game. It's not the playoff. It's an exhibition game against Minnesota. So, but he said he was going to play and he's going to play. So it's huge that Derek Brown's going to play in the game. Obviously he makes a big difference that he's on the field. And I think he will inspire, you know, the rest of the defense to you know, play a good game and stuff. So I think it's really big for Auburn, obviously, that he does that. And it could be a showcase for him where he could go out and have a big game, but it's also which I will be legitimately scared for him until the game is over. Like it's very important that he gets off the field, you know, healthy at the end of that game and walks away.
Is it strange that I just find the whole thing, I don't understand not playing in a game. Why not? If Derek Brown's going to be a first-round draft selection, why didn't he just leave the team after the third game? Why play in the Alabama game? I if you're on the team, it seems like you play the games.
I think, like, you know, they NFL scouts want to see you play against really good players, players who are going to play in the NFL also, basically. And they have seen that from Derek Brown. There's nothing in the bowl game that's going to change their evaluation of him. He isn't going to move up or down either way. So in some sense, all the risk is downside risk, negative risk, where he could get injured. There's a guy, a linebacker that played for Notre Dame, I'll think of his name in a moment, who plays on the Cowboys now, who in the Fiesta Bowl a couple years ago when Notre Dame played Ohio State, he 100% would have been a mid-first-round pick. He tore his ACL in that game. And the Cowboys ended up taking him with like a fourth-round pick.
Cost him money.
And it cost him a bunch of money. And again, he spent a year rehabilitating, and then now he's a great player, and he's going to make a bunch of money in a second contract. But there was risk there, and it really hurt him. And so I think, that's the reason. Like, there's no, in terms of Derek Brown's future career, there is no upside of playing in the game. It's just, he wants to play because he wants to play with his teammates one more time, basically.
It just seems odd to me to pick and choose. I don't know. I understand exactly what you're saying. I just feel like that applies to the Iron Bowl too. I mean,
your point about the dropping out. I mean, one of the younger Bosa was at Ohio State last year, and he basically did that. Like, he got banged up midway in the season and basically said, I'm done. He didn't come back. And he was like he was the equivalent kind of Derek Brown last year. He, you know, was the best defensive lineman in the country, and he didn't come back. So
let's see, a couple of, Johnny asked, do y'all think Nick Coe, will he be back next year? I mean, everything I've heard is the indication that he's going somewhere else, or he's not happy, or he doesn't get along, or whatever. So,
well, and I think the other thing about this year's team is it had great leadership and great senior leaders or whatever. And so part of the idea is if Nick Coe isn't going to be a positive influence in his actions and his words and his behavior and the way he practices, the way he plays, then maybe we want him to go somewhere else. It's tough to say that about a good player, but this is just, you know, from hearing other stuff, I think that's a possibility. And I think maybe he wants to go somewhere else and, as a grad transfer and get an opportunity to play for somebody different in a different system and show what he can do, whatever. So I think it's really up to him what he wants to do. But I think there's the other side of that too, where I think, you know, if there were issues with him, the way he practiced, the way he prepared for games and stuff, then, and off the field stuff, then that's an issue if that guy's going to be one of your senior leaders on defense next year.
Let's see. A couple of recruiting things. Let's see. So William Thrasher points out signing day is coming up Wednesday. That could be huge. And
early signing day is signing day.
Right.
We're really literally going to sign, you know, 20 of our 25 players probably on this week. And so it is huge. And it's that we had a huge weekend this weekend. It was mostly the big guys who are already committed to Auburn coming in, but it was big because they could meet Chad Morris. And it was very good. So I think that's a positive thing. And I think we're going to have a very good recruiting class. I mean, I think that, you know, there were a lot of recruits at the Iron Bowl. I think we were in good position already, but I think this is going to allow us to finish strong.
Yeah.
And I think some of the guys getting reevaluated, it bumped up Tank Bigsby and those kind of guys. So, you know, I think part of the thing out there is they want to sign another, you know, an extra quarterback. But the, you know, the headliners are going to be the offensive linemen. That's what everybody's going to be looking at. So, can we finish? You know, Rodney Gardner always does this thing at the end where he grabs one or two more defensive linemen, kind of at the end that nobody saw coming. And I think there's some of that out there too.
Yeah. And it sounded like, you know, we lost the one guy to Alabama that I think was going to Alabama all along. And I felt like we ended up sort of getting the upper hand on him anyway. He was trying to do the old switcheroo at the last minute. But I did see, you know, a little while ago that one of our recruits, as William kind of says here, one of our recruits who was kind of safely in the class, he just said something to the effect of, you know, wait till you see what's coming up on Wednesday. You're going to be surprised or something. So that sounds promising, right? Like there's somebody they brought in that's going to – another lineman maybe or something, or –
I mean, I think there's some guys that they've been recruiting that, you know, haven't made a decision yet that that could really matter. In terms of Auburn Ellis's question, not that I have heard. It may have happened and I may have missed it, but I don't think so.
Yeah. Let's see. In terms of our big players, we've got Tank Bigsby went up to a 5-star. We've got some linebackers, I believe, in this class. In fact, I just saw that the
This is great. This is great video. I'm gonna look up the signing class numbers. So
but I believe that I saw that really good line. Remember, we had like four linebackers. We were. Oh yeah, UGA hired Matt Luke. Yeah, thanks.
That's right. Yes.
That's right. So they're all just switching around. But no, I believe I was reading that. Remember there were like four linebackers we're looking at, and we basically said whoever grabs the brass ring first gets it, and then somebody's going to be the musical chair, somebody's going to be out. And the guy that ended up waiting is the one that was going to go to North Carolina. And it looks like he's going to go to Clemson. And they said this will probably jump Clemson above Alabama back into first place again. And somebody was asking me, it's like, you know, I don't know what Clemson's doing over there, but whatever it is, it's working.
I mean, they're great recruiters. So, big guys in this class. Tank Bigsby. All right. Yes, that's what I'm talking about. Again, I could just make it up, or I could actually look at the thing and be sure. So, here's the commits we have right now. You know, basically, one quarterback, one running back. Tank Bigsby's the one running back. Four receivers.
Yeah.
Four-star good receivers. Big, you know, some of these are really, really good players.
Yes.
Xavier Capers, Kobe Hudson. Those are big time players that a lot of people in the country wanted. So about six offensive linemen, three defensive linemen. Jay Hardy is a defensive tackle in that group, you know, who's from Tennessee. Zacavius Walker is a defensive end, from Georgia, who a lot of people wanted. And then we got a couple of defensive backs. One is, Chris Thompson's a safety from Texas. And Marco Domino is a junior college cornerback from Texas. So I think, those guys are, guys that could come in and help pretty quickly. It's, obviously a junior college defensive back. You don't bring them in unless you think they can play. But then at linebacker, we got Wesley Steiner. From Warner Robins, Georgia. He's kind of the stud of that group. And we don't need a ton of linebackers because we got everybody coming back, but we're going to take two probably.
And these were good. So, these were good too. I mean, you got to get them.
Yeah, big-time players. Yeah, no, these guys are difference makers. So I think – and the biggest thing is the offensive line. I think we got to get guys there. We got guys that can play. But, the receiver depth really matters too because we're losing a bunch of bodies. Mm-hmm. These may not say like, oh, those guys were all the biggest difference makers or whatever, but there's a bunch of guys who have been on the roster for a few years that are gone, and we're going to need some more players and some future guys that we can develop. It could be kind of the stars of the future receiver.
Yeah, William says this is Tank is the first overall running back, according to a few sites. He's gone up to 5 stars in the last week or two.
It has and again, for some while. Yeah. He's 6 foot, 210, 215, and so he's the prototypical size running back you want. I mean, he's not a little guy. He's a big guy who's also explosive and elusive and all that kind of stuff. But he can, make plays and carry the ball up the middle and stuff. So.
Is it?
Yes. It's two things. I think Cadillac is a good recruiter, and I think he's helping in that area a lot. I think he's out there making stuff happen, but also think the sharing the load thing matters, both because there's a chance for them to get the football early, but also because they know we're not going to run them into the ground. It's both those things.
Right, right. Our backfield next year, we'll have Mark Anthony Richards – back, healthy.
Yep.
We'll have Tank coming in. Booby's still around. People are going to be talking about him like he's Brandon Cox one of these days because it'll seem like he's been around forever, He seemed like a junior last year and this past season, and he's only like a sophomore, right? So, and then we'll have DJ. And, the running back situation is looking pretty good. It's hard to imagine. Just a couple of years ago, we were miserably lacking in running backs, and now we're going to be in good shape. So, having Booby, DJ, Shivers, and Tank, Mark Anthony—holy cow, man! This is the deepest backfield we've had in a long time, probably under Gus. I can't remember under Gus having. I can't remember having that many good running backs under Tuberville, honestly. Even in the years
2003 or when did we have?
We had the
Jacob?
Four. Yeah, we had the four, but this is like six that are, I know there's not like a, we don't, not yet a Cadillac and a Ronnie Brown there, but this is like, or a Trey Mason in his senior year. But this is, if those guys were tens, this is like having a bunch of sevens and eights all at the same time, which is not bad. James Taylor, one of our winners, we're getting our prizes sorted out now, just signed on. Did you guys speak to the poor high school offensive line recruiting? Are you following up, right? Yeah. Hopefully they'll stay. Well, yeah, that would be great. But I think that, we've talked about this a lot, the idea that it was a kind of a combination of factors, including, honestly, I thought that Herb Hand, I don't know that he coached them the greatest ever, and I don't feel like he brought in a whole lot of talent those couple of years. I feel like his years as our offensive line coach saw kind of the sliding down, and hopefully with JB back, it's leveling off and picking back up again. What do you think about that?
I think it's honestly hard to – I think, yes, we have done a poor job recruiting, I think, at the high school level, especially at tackle. Because we – I think we have some younger guys who can play at guard, so we'll see next year. But we're signing 6 guys. 3 of them are high school guys and 3 of them are JUCO guys. So I think, the high school guys, we need them to develop. We need long-term players, the guys that can play multiple years.
Down the road,
make a difference. And I think one of the high school guys has 3 years to play, I believe. So now, that was a different guy they're looking at. He's not on here. Right now,
the one issue, one of our JUCO guys got hurt, I believe, and the others aren't coming till fall.
Yes.
So, ideally we'd have had 3 JUCO guys coming in the spring. We're not getting any of that. So we're really going into the fall either with guys that'll just be playing together for the first time or with guys already on the roster that didn't hardly play at all this past season. So except for the center, right? We got our center back. One of them.
Because he replaced Kim at the end of the year.
Yeah.
He'll be back at center. So, yes.
That helps a little bit, but still. So.
Sure.
Other stuff about recruiting. Do we have any quarterbacks lined up? I feel like we need a little depth there.
Yeah, no. We have one quarterback committed in there, and they're actually trying hard to get another one. The guy that's committed is from Florida named Chael Garnett.
Yeah. Dual threat, right?
Yep. So 6'1", 205 he's been committed for a while, and they like him. Plays in a similar kind of offense. So, but I think they want to get one more. I mean, obviously Morris's son is out there, but he may not sign where his dad goes because there's talk that he's worried about what's the long term issues there. So, I think Morris's son is worried that if he signs with a place and his dad leaves to go somewhere else, then. Right. What was the point of that?
You know, so he needs to go where he wants to go, for sure. Yes.
Where's good for him. But he's not a nice-to-have guy. He's a guy that, like, Oklahoma and Southern Cal and stuff won as a quarterback. So he's a good player, and I think we'd be very lucky to get him. They've been trying to get in on a couple other quarterbacks. So we'll see. I wouldn't be shocked. That could be something that, if there's some still available in the February period, that they wait and go to there for that one. But
William Thrasher mentioned Malik, and I'm like, is he still? There's no way he has another year of eligibility. Malik? Because
I believe so.
Malik Miller was on the same
team. John looking up stuff again. Keep going.
Malik Miller was on the same high school team with Kerryon Johnson.
As a younger player, but yes.
1 year? There's no way. Did he get the brand new 3-year red shirt? Chad's son's a 4-star. Yeah, we would like to have him. Although again, he's not the same kind of quarterback that we keep waiting for the next Cam, and we keep getting the next Chris Todd. I'm just not sure. I'm not sure what the deal is. Auburn Nova says, what are the odds Colt Sebring, and I'm glad that people spell his name properly. It is Colt Sebring. Enters the transfer portal and leads Oklahoma. That's it's always a possibility.
Yeah. So I'm just confirming, Malik Miller was a junior eligibility-wise in this past season. He will be back next year.
You don't think he's going to take that lucrative NFL money, right?
I do not.
To go block for somebody else. James says... they've done a nice job on JUCO scene, but really JB is a detriment. See, that's the thing is, I feel like JB has been more of the solution, and Herb Hand was the detriment. Am I crazy?
Well, I mean, Herb Hand was a problem. JB has improved things, but he's not, a difference maker, I think, in recruiting on the offensive side. I think he's a good technical coach, but I don't think he's somebody out there that's really making a big difference with high school players. So I think
– yeah.
Down the road, I think it's one of those things where Chad Morris could come in and help with offensive line recruiting, where he could go around and push that some, but we'll see.
Who's out there that we could bring in as an offensive line coach that would make a real difference? I mean, any of the old Pat Dye players or Tuberville players that are now coaches and would be a kind of a Rodney Garner of the OL?
I don't know. Above the top of my head, I have to go look around and see who's still in coaching. I mean, Stacy Searles
was out there for a while. That's the first name that came to my mind, yeah. I'm not sure what you said that brought that about, but okay.
I think JB's made things better, but I do think, we need to recruit high school players and develop them. We can't rely on transfers and JUCOs and stuff forever on the offensive line.
Yeah. So we'll see what they can come up with. Auburn Elvis asked, and maybe this is one of our last couple of Ryan Pugh at BYU. Okay, that's thought. But Elvis asked Heisman thoughts. I guess it was at least didn't he just absolutely destroy everybody else? In fact, I was reading that the second place vote getter was Jalen Hurts with like a third or a fourth of his votes.
Yeah, no, he broke the percentage record for most first place votes. Burrow did. And he deserved a Heisman. I don't have a problem with it. I wish Derek Brown had gotten voted to go to New York. That would have been cool.
Yeah, well, duh.
But other than that, I didn't watch it because, it's a boring show and, I don't have any strong feelings about the Heisman and who was there and who deserved it.
He deserved it. I just didn't have any desire to spend any time watching LSU win something,
Yeah, there you go.
I just didn't care. So Kendall Simmons, he was a great Auburn player.
He is, and he is an analyst now, Williams, right? So that's a, you know, maybe they're grooming him to be their placement.
That'd be cool. All right. Any last topics or thoughts we haven't covered? Obviously, we, you know, for those, again, as always, we go in depth in the – don't forget the – we got to make up Soundboard Fan Club T-shirts. I have all these ideas for T-shirts, John. I just haven't had the time. But I'm officially
holy cow!
I'm officially at – I had to make one appearance – the semester is over now, and so I've got the break. And when I'm not working on Miami Heist, hopefully I can, or mailing out prizes to our winners like James, I should be able to put some things together. I want us to get some T-shirts on a shop somewhere, whether it's Redbubble or there's a bunch of places now you can do that. And so I'll come up with some T-shirt ideas. So, any other topics that we're missing? Trying to make a note. I don't know of. I guess. Well, as I was saying, we'll be back on tomorrow night. We'll be recording our show. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was gonna say Van making a note. Van Club.
Yeah, I do this on the audio thing all the time.
But we can't. Yeah, no. I write down stuff all the time when I'm around the audio show, so I can remember. But we don't. People can't see it. So.
Can't see it, right? Yeah. Sometimes I type, but then you hear the tack, 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 tack. So, here's a really good question. I was just saying, you know, we're doing our normal hour and a few minutes shows recording tomorrow night, Monday night, and we've talked before about wanting to do more than one a month. You know, there have been times, and I was looking back through our archives. I just changed. Let me explain real quick. I accidentally changed our website, thinking I was just trying it out, and it's like, you have successfully changed it. I'm like, no, I wasn't. And the web.
You said not preview, but execute.
Exactly. There was no preview. I thought that was And the funny thing is the template we've been using for all these years since 2012 is no longer available. So when I accidentally changed it, there was no going back. So I've been in for the last hour. I went in and tweaked it and I added stuff. And one of the things I saw I added, this template let you add archives. So you can actually go to our Podbean page, auwishbone.podbean.com. You can go in and there's a little thing on the side and it lists every month. But also you can see how many shows we have per month. And there were a lot of them. We only, like in the off season, we only had like one show in a month. And I don't want to do that. Obviously, we're going to dial it back some, but I'd like to do no fewer than two in a month in the off season, and then sometimes more than that, obviously, because we got a lot more listeners now than we used to, and people paying good money to keep us on the air. I'd like to provide them some benefit, you know. So between our occasional video shows and that, so.
Having said that, I'm the planner.
Yep.
I'm the one that generally has to look at the calendar and think ahead about stuff. So we'll do the regular show tomorrow. Maybe we'll do the Trial Gust 2.0 if we're going to do that. I got some legwork I got to do between now and then. But
that's coming up.
We got to do that. And then, again, the bowl game is the first. We're probably not going to do a show on December 23rd. But we could do, like, a week from today, we could do a recruiting signing day wrap-up kind of thing maybe. Hmm. But then, you know, we'll do a show, you know, prepare for the bowl game and – you know, follow up on more off-season kind of stuff, probably the, you know, the 29th, 30th in there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and then we'll do, you know, a show after, definitely the week after New Year's to talk about post-bowl game and, you know, if there were guys leaving early, going pro, transfer, that kind of stuff. We should know a lot of that stuff then.
And as Elvis says, we got the bowl pick, and this is all patron stuff. If you are a patron of our shows, video, audio, whatever – John just sent out the Pick'em link today. So if you're not already a patron, if you go to www.auwishbone.com and become a patron, you can get in our bowl Pick'em and then be ready when basketball season gets going. We'll be doing the NCAA tournament thing as well. And there's a lot of other stuff too. So I think that's our signal.
This is live video. My son's printing stuff. So.
There we go. Well, that's how I probably say. All right, so we usually do about 35 minutes on a Sunday afternoon. So let's wrap things up. And John, I will talk to you tomorrow night. I guess we'll do a show, right? Our Monday night show. And I don't know how lot we had to cover that we hadn't already covered, but we'll do it. And then we'll figure out what our plans are going forward. So as always, our time is up. We thank you for yours. War Eagle John.
War Eagle, man.